Buongiorno everybody and welcome. My name is Vittorio Bertocci and I'm a senior architect evangelist in the Windows Azure Platform Evangelism team. You may have heard my name for my work on identity. However, today I want to talk about the entire Windows Azure Platform. And specifically, what I'm doing today is finally lifting the curtain on a big sample that we've been working on for quite some time. And it's actually a complete end-to-end sample of a software as a service scenario, which takes advantage of Windows Azure Platform. Now, the excuse for this example was one existing application, which has been already featured in a number of events. You may have seen it back in PDC 08, the first time, and last time we have shown it during TechEd North America, during the Bob Muglia's keynote. And the application is Fabricam Shipping. It's just one application that you can use for sending packages. We wanted to go through the experience of taking one existing application meant to be run on-premise and actually see what it takes to take this application and actually run it as a service, running it using a subscription-based model and taking advantage of all the things that the Windows Azure Platform offers. And the result is in a live demo, which you can just browse to. If you go to www.fabricamshipping.net, you will land on this page that you see behind me, and you will be able to actually interact with this website, pretending to be a customer, which actually subscribe to this application as a service. And of course, you will also have the chance of downloading the source code so that you can take a peek of what happens behind the scenes. Now, if you are the type that learns by doing, I suggest you close the video now, you go to the Fabricam Shipping landing page, and you start playing. If instead you want a bit more context, then stick with me, and I'll walk you through a bit of the idea behind Fabricam Shipping and some details about the architecture. And without further ado, road to the cloud. Imagine to be an ISV, an independent software vendor, with existing IP, with an application which has been very successful, but is designed to be run on-premise. And let's say that, for example, you decide that you want to start reaching more customers than you are doing so far with your on-premise application. So here we have various multiple customers with their own organizations. Of course, taking the road of deploying this on-premise of everybody is possible. We've done that for a long time, but it's probably not the most efficient. And it is definitely limited in the kind of scale that you can achieve. So the classic solution to this is to actually move to what we call a subscription-based model, something in which substantially you get your application and you offer it. Instead of offering the bits, you actually offer access to the application, just the functionality. So you don't have to give away your IP, you don't have to install anything, but your users are in the same situation. They don't need to install anything, they just open a browser and that's it. Of course, I'm saying nothing new. This is the classic software as a service mantra you heard many times. And a good way of moving toward the subscription-based model is to take advantage of the cloud, of course. So you can take your application, run it here, and you already started with the right foot, because that's the best way of actually achieving that. However, that is only the first step, because if your application was designed to run on-premise, then there are a number of different things that you have to do for the subscription-based model that you just have to add somehow. Examples: onboarding. Typically, when you have an on-premise application, you go and you deploy it. You deploy it at the customer premise. Here, instead, the application is always in the same place. You just have to get your customers in. And if you want to reach scale, you also have to find ways of doing it fairly automatically. Then, of course, you want customization. Every customer will want to tweak their own application. On-premise, they can do it to the extent of your extensibility model. In the cloud, you'll have to do something for making sure that every application instance fits the needs of your customer. Multi-tenancy. Now, we are going to see in detail that software as a service does not necessarily entail multi-tenancy. However, there are various situations in which you want to do that. And multi-tenancy brings a number of specific challenges that typically an application born to be run on-premise does not address. And then access. Let's say that you have an application which is accessible from anywhere because it's on the cloud. You want to make sure that you limit access to the correct people. You take advantage of existing information for authorizing, authenticating, so all the usual stuff, but in the cloud and on a much, much larger scale. And the last point, which should have been the first, of course, is billing. Here, the way of collecting subscriptions is substantially different from the way in which you would collect by deploying software on-premises. So there are a number of challenges that you have to go through for actually making this shift. Those challenges are not just technological, but there is a good part of that. So in our effort to actually move our application to a subscription-based model, we thought about one generic pattern that works for this kind of solution. This kind of solution, you can't just architect your application like you were doing it in the past, because it just wouldn't work. You need to, how to say, add one level of abstraction. You are sort of creating like an application factory, because every subscription is a kind of a new application. Luckily, you don't have to do everything in your solution, because there is something which we call platform as a service, which offers you the resources that you need for managing this highly distributed system. So exactly like when you build a classic on-premise application, you rely on your infrastructure for giving you services such as storage, file system, and similar. When you move to the cloud, you have this platform as a service layer, which offers you advanced capabilities that you take advantage of without having to do them in your application. And you still keep the data that you had before. However, the main point here is the subscription. Everything in your solution revolves around the idea of subscription. A subscription determines your billing relationship with your customer, the customization that you are building of your application, the monitoring of the usage of your application. It is like the root, the primitive on which everything revolves. And the thing that you already have can be the starting material, which together with a subscription originates to the new application instance. And how do you combine this? Well, you need input from your customer. Let's say that you need to actually gather the requirements so that you can create the instance for them. And you typically do that by exposing some interface. And here I call that onboarding. I also call it subscription, so more or less the same. And that's the point where you can actually acquire the customer, so start the billing relationship, and at the same time gather their options, their customization, and everything you need to create the instance for them. And then a very important component of the architecture is the provisioning engine. The provisioning engine is something that can actually take the information from your subscription, combine it with your starting material, and make things happen. Whatever it means for your specific application to create an application instance, well, the provisioning engine will take care of using the platform as a service for making that happen. And of course, for as much as a platform can be complete and exhaustive, there will always be services that are outside of its specific functionality. For example, typical things are payments or sending notifications, or for example, something as simple as obtaining certificates or managing DNS CNAMEs and similar. A good provisioning engine needs to be pluggable, needs to be able to loop into the flow also external entities such as these. So this is the pattern which we applied consistently in our Fabric and Shipping, and we applied it twice for creating two very different subscription levels, for showing you that this pattern actually works. So let's take a look at Fabricam Shipping in itself. Fabricam Shipping, of course, uses the Windows Azure platform as a platform as a service. And namely, we use Windows Azure a lot. We use SQL Azure for our databases. And we use the Windows Azure platform App Fabric, and specifically the Access Control Service for outsourcing most of our authentication needs. Then for the onboarding, we have one specific UI, which is the landing page, in which basically you can actually choose the specific subscription, and you will be led through different wizards that will bring you to different experiences depending on the subscription level you are willing to pay. By the way, here we have prices. Those prices are absolutely no indication of anything. Those are random numbers. Don't get that as a guidance. Also, this application is one sample. So don't expect it to be the mega guidance. It's like certain things are not necessarily best practices. Also because many of those things, you will probably see them for the first time tackled in this sample. So this is just a sample from which you can get inspiration. But remember, this is just a sample. On top of our subscription engine, actually subscription UI, we have also one management UI, which is offered to the employees of Fabricam so that they can actually run this entire contraption and move things forward. And then we also have one administrative UI for the billing relationship. And for this demo, I'm very excited to say that we partnered with PayPal, which is providing a very interesting API. They call it the Adaptive Payment API, which can be used for automating payments in a number of ways. And in this demo, we demonstrate how to call those APIs from Windows Azure, which is fairly neat. So now let's take a look at how we applied this pattern consistently, both in the enterprise case and in the small business case. Those are two editions that we offer of the same product that offer different levels of service, and at the same time, they use the resources, our platform as a service, in a different way. So let's see some details. Here, I have just exploded the thing that I've seen before, but so far, no changes. Let's say that you have an enterprise customer, a business customer, that wants to subscribe to Fabricam Shipping. So here they have their users here. And let's say that we have one administrator, which of course deserves a top hat, which will be the one that subscribes and actually drives the relationship. So all the administrator has to do is to land on this page, choose enterprise, and go through the experience. This experience will gather things like the name of the company, the contact for sending the bills, and similar. And in the enterprise case, it will also gather things like the identity provider, so the metadata of the Active Directory Federation services, which is on-premise, so that it can automatically configure the single sign-on. It will also ask for things like how to map the roles in that organization to the roles of this specific application. All these kind of things. Once the wizard will be completely done, the last step will be redirecting the user to PayPal. PayPal offers a sandbox, which you can use for doing fake payments, so you can use these safely without moving any money, don't worry. And here you will have a choice of doing a one-time payment or to actually give a pre-approval for covering 12 months of payment, which the application will automatically use once a month for charging you automatically, which is, I believe, pretty neat. And if everything goes well, then the user will just get to a screen which says, OK, thank you for your subscription. We'll notify you once it's ready. And then in the next step, the system will notify an administrator at Fabricam. Let's put a different hat. That a new subscription request is in the queue. At this point, for this specific edition, there will be one manual step that the administrator has to use, which is adding Actually, this one is automatic. You add automatically in the access control service the customer as a new recognized identity provider. And then there is this manual step, which is creating a new hosted service and a new storage account. And then, at that point, the provisioning engine will take over, will gather all the customizations that the user asked, will take the existing application, will modify it according to those requests. Like, for example, it will actually change the web config, it will add pieces of code and similar to this template, and then it will automatically package it using CSPAC for Windows Azure, and will automatically deploy it in this new service. And it will also automatically deploy a version of a SQL database. At that point, the system will just notify the subscriber that the instance is ready, and then what will happen is that, let me do some cleanup, is that users now will be just able to go straight to their application. The system will redirect them to the access control service, the access control service will direct them to their identity provider, their identity provider will just authenticate them, so single sign-on, and they will just have straight access to their instance without any further steps. So for them, it will be just like if this would be on the internet. And the process can be iterated. So let's delete a bit of this. And let's see what happens if we onboard another customer. Here we have another customer, and history will repeat itself. Here we have the administrator. Administrator will go through the wizard. It will make the payment. Will be fine, and then the administrator will receive a notification. The administrator will add the new set of resources, will add the new dedicated databases, and at this point, the users, the new system will just be able to land on their application, be redirected to the access control service, get redirected to their own app, and just establish a session in single sign-on. Now, from the customer point of view, this is clearly a software as a service application, because the customer just went through a wizard and they got back a URL, and from that moment on, they started using this URL. So it is clearly a subscription-based application. However, if you look at this from the ISV perspective, this is actually not a multi-tenant application, because as you can see here, those applications are completely isolated. Those are running on exclusive resources, and they never get any user which is different from the specific customer for which they have been created. And that's great, because it has a number of advantages in respect to the classic multi-tenancy. For example, your application does not have to be multi-tenant from the start to work in this scenario, because here we perform the few modifications which are the counterpart of what you were doing at deployment time. So we are just automating that in code, but it's the same. We are creating the packages by hand, and we are doing actually automated, and we are actually deploying those packages automatically. And there is a perfect isolation, perfect separation between the resources of client A and the resource of customer B. So at that point, for you, billing is very easy, because you can always tell which customer is using which resources. And also, it is very easy for you to keep things separated. So if customer A has 10,000 users and customer B has 12 users, well, one could argue that the enterprise edition may not be the best. But anyway, for customer A, you can actually add as many hosted services that you need without affecting the other user, and you can charge it specifically for that. That's very, very useful in certain occasions. Of course, this has drawbacks. For example, of course, the use of resources is pretty heavy, and the cost, the base cost, will be fairly high. So if, for example, the customer has like 5 users, probably spawning an entire machine for them is not the best of the choices. So we used the same pattern for creating a different subscription model, which is what we call the small business subscription model. And here it is. Here, instead of starting from starting material and then deploying dynamically for every customer, we already have one instance running in our Windows Azure, which is this one. And instead of accepting identities from identity providers and business providers, which we could, but we are just choosing not to in this context, we are actually accepting common identity providers, such as Windows Live ID or Google ID. Here we could have added Facebook, Yahoo, whatever. We simply limited it to those two because, you know, it's a sample. We have to run the code. But you can easily add whatever you want. In this context, adding a user, adding a tenant, is not going to create a completely new service, but we are actually going to operate in multi-tenant fashion. So in this case, for making this addition work, we actually had to take Fabricam shipping code and change the code so that we could match the multi-tenant pattern. And if you download the source code, I believe that you'll find it very interesting to compare what we use as a template for the enterprise edition and the small business. In the small business Visual Studio project, all the files that we didn't have to change are just links to the enterprise edition project. Every time we had to do a change for making the application multi-tenant, we actually wrote a file from scratch. Or we modified the file and we have it in our new project. So the delta between those two, what it takes to become a multi-tenant, is very, very evident. It's very clear. Also, here we say small business, but the reality is that it's not necessarily true. That's to say that imagine a business in which you have some kind of franchise, in which you have many, many, many employees, but the churn of those employees is very high. Your turnover is very high. It's typical of franchises. Well, probably it doesn't make a lot of business sense to create a full-fledged entry in Active Directory for an employee that will stay on for something like 4 months. So if we manage to accept in the system just common identity providers, then we can actually solve the problem for them. So let's take a look at how this system works. Here we have a usual customer, but this time we don't have an identity provider. We just have a loose set of employees, which may even not have the same email in the same domain. So the process here is very similar. One user will go through the wizard, will just pick on on the small business edition, will go through the wizard, will get the payment as usual, probably paying less. And then at this point, what will happen is that the system will add a new entry here in the database of this instance. This entry will contain all the customizations that are necessary for this specific tenant. So, for example, the logo, which is shown. And also, an interesting part is in this demo, we have chosen not to have a multi-tenant database. So even if this is a small business, for the database, we actually create a separate database for every tenant. But it's just a choice. Like if you want to make it multi-tenant as well, like just having tables on the same databases, you are more than welcome to do so. And what we added, though, is an extra table in which we keep the list of users that are meant to access this instance, this tenant. And how actually do we manage that? During the provisioning, the subscriber can specify a list of users, meaning that they can provide a list of email addresses and the roles that he wants to assign to every email. And then, once we'll get to this point, the system will send the usual mail to the subscriber saying, your instance is ready. But it will also send mails to every user with an invitation saying you have been invited to use this application. And this will contain an activation link, which is unique for everybody. The user will be able to navigate to that activation link, authenticate using whatever account they want to use for accessing that instance, be it Google, be it Live ID. And from that moment on, that specific account will be tied to that specific entry, and they'll be able to use that. So that means that one tenant could have part of its users using Live ID, part of its user using Google, and yet the instance will be the same. The database that they are working with, that we are collaborating on, will be exactly the same, which, in my opinion, is really great. And this is made possible all thanks to the management APIs of the Access Control Service, which is really, really powerful. And let me delete a bit. And of course, we can do exactly the same for another user, another tenant, which is, for example, this brown one, in which we will just add one slice, as you have seen here. So another tenant will just add another entry in the database, and that's it. The cycle will repeat itself. And this time, every user will hit always the same application, regardless of from where they are coming from. However, this has been designed so that everybody has the feeling that they are the only user of the application, because every session is customized according to the specific tenant. And also here there are a number of interesting pieces of code that you can see and reuse as a sample. Now, what can you do for actually exploring the demo, for seeing these, touching it with your hand? Well, the first thing is navigating to the homepage. And once on the homepage, you will see links to all the various resources that we have in here. So on the link to the page in itself, the link to the various packages, and all the videos that I'm recording for showing you how to navigate the application. You can watch the videos. You can download the packages which we offer. We offer the source code package, and we also offer what we call a companion. This is a helper which basically allows you to experience the Enterprise Edition even if you don't have an identity provider. So normally in the scenario, you would be required for single sign-on to have one ADFS2 or equivalent instance ready. But not everybody has that. And especially if you want to test these on your development machine, having a domain controller may be hard. So we provide you with a small utility which you can use for simulate that. Then you can go straight instead to the app, which is the one with the three boxes. And there you can create a usable business. You can pretend to be a customer and just go through the experience, and the system will automatically create a tenant for you. Be patient, because when you're lucky, this takes 7 seconds. Some other times, we may be doing some work on that, so it may be down. So again, this is a demo. Don't expect production SLA. We have one existing enterprise tenant that you can use for experiencing it yourself. So we actually provide you with a fake identity provider for AdventureWorks, which is our fake enterprise tenant. And you can interact with their instance pretending to be one employee of AdventureWorks. Very few subscriptions per day. We are also going to accept brand new enterprise subscriptions. So if you want to go through the experience of setting up an enterprise subscription using your ADFS or using our utility, you can actually do so. However, you have seen that there are steps that we have to do by hand in there. So don't expect your request to be processed very fast, or to be actually sometimes processed at all, because we expect that there will be a lot of requests, and we won't be able to accommodate all of them. However, that should not be a problem, because if you download the source code package, you will be able to see everything. That's to say that when you get the source code and you launch the setup, you can actually run the entire thing on Dev Fabric locally. And you can experience pretty much everything. The only thing that doesn't work is on-premise is the provisioning process. The provisioning process is so tied to the cloud that if we would have changed it to work on the local Windows Azure, on the local SQL Express and similar, then we would have changed it to a point that if you want to reuse that code when you go to the cloud, it would have been difficult for you. So all the code is there. Also, there are very interesting pieces of code for using OData and OAuth for using Windows Identity Foundation and securing those interactions. But the provisioning part, you'll have to just experience online. And that said, I really, really hope that this sample will help you to move forward with your software as a service projects. And of course, we are very, very happy to hear your feedback, and we will keep updating these as new features of the platform come along. So have fun with Fabric and Shipping, and thank you.